Previously on Algoa FM.
In honor of Heritage Day, we're celebrating South Africans that inspire us, right? Not just on paper, but through the lives that they touch. So my favorite South African is, sure, someone very close to home, if I could put it that way. She's done some amazing work in medicine and also in people's lives, not just in mine. A pediatric endocrinologist, I practice that word, also a metabolism subspecialist as well, who deeply cares for children and adolescents around Eastern Cape. But you know what, beyond her medical achievements, this is someone whose faith and vision has really inspired me personally. So, welcome to Algoa FM, Dr. Mel Nyokana Ndamase, or is it Ndamase Nyokana?
Ndamase Nyokana.
There we go. Dr. Mel, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you for that.
Before we even get into your story, I want to tell you why you are my favorite South African. You have accomplished so much academically and professionally, but what moves me the most is how you see the best in people. I feel like you saw the best in me at a time where, you know, I wasn't even necessarily sure about my faith, you know, and just how your faith guides you in your life and in your work. It inspires me tremendously. So that's why you're my favorite South African.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you, Kia. Wow. This means so much to me. Wow. It's also like such a humbling experience to be finding myself sitting on this seat. I feel so undeserving.
No, you are. You're deserving.
Thank you.
Dr. Mel, I want to hear a little bit about your childhood and what first inspired you to go into medicine.
You must say keep it short when you say about your childhood.
Is it a long one?
It's a long one. But I think briefly, I come from a family of eight. Mm. I am number eight. And the person I come after is actually 7 years older than me. My mom was 46 when she had me.
Wow.
As Pastor O said it the other day, I was an oopsie, but I was a miracle baby.
Wow.
And I think that's an important thing to mention. And when I was born, it was just after my mom had lost my sister, who was a nurse at that time.
Yeah.
So I was named Melezwa, meaning to be strengthened. And I do believe that my mom felt like God was comforting her after she had lost my sister. It's
wow.
Interesting that then I ended up being a doctor and she was a nurse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I grew up in Mthatha, but I was raised by my aunt, not my mom. And I think a lot of who I am today is influenced by the kind of woman that she was. She was a teacher by profession, but left teaching and went into full-time ministry.
Sure.
And was doing children's ministry, mostly interdenominationally. And that woman really touched my life. And I think that's the reason why I'm the person that I am today. God really used her in a humongous way, and I accepted Christ with her.
Wow.
Before I turned six.
Wow.
And my life has never been the same again. And then the second part of the question was, when did I know I was going to do medicine?
Yeah. What inspired that?
To be honest, I don't know. I don't know, but all I know is that I have always wanted to do something special, something that everyone thinks is difficult to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what made medicine initially attractive to me. It was something that not everyone can be this. Back in the day, it was that,
yeah.
You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have certain grades. So I think that really made it attractive to me, that I wanted to really defeat the odds of I can't at that time. And I just also was just attracted to being a person of influence from when I was very young.
Wow.
So I'm not really sure how it started. But I do remember when I was going into high school being asked, what are you going to do? Because you need to choose which subjects you're going to do. And I was like, I definitely want to do medicine.
Wow. And what about now working with children, specifically focusing on children's health? Was there a moment that you knew, okay, I want to work with kids?
Definitely. After practicing as a generalist and seeing a lot of adults, I found adults difficult. in the sense that I realize that adults like to be sick.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And that was hard for me because you would admit a person and you can actually see clinically they're better. You can see their bloods are getting better. And they would insist that, no, they are not better. And sometimes you would get people faking symptoms because they wanted to be in hospital, you know. And I found that challenging. But then on the contrary, when I rotated through pediatrics, I found that with children, what you see is what you get. So if you admit them, they're miserable, they're ill, then the following day when you come into the ward, they welcome you at the door because they are feeling better. They are playing, they are pulling you on the sides. So I realized that with kids, what you see is what you get, and they get better. With adults, you never really know. It depends. Do they really want to be better? So I was like, you know what? I'm not a good psychologist. Let me just be a pediatrician.
And I feel like there's a whole sermon in that as well, in terms of adults liking to be sick. But speaking of sermons, I know that your faith is clearly a big part of your life. Algoa Country, you would have heard a little bit earlier when she mentioned Pastor O. That is actually her husband. How has your belief in Jesus shaped the way that you practice medicine, but also now relating to your patients?
Sure. As I said before, I accepted Christ at a very tender age. So my identity is Jesus. Everything I do as unto Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, the book of Colossians 3 says, whatever we do, we should do it as if we're doing it for God. And I think that's an important thing for me, to be serving each and every person as if I'm serving Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, especially if you are working like with the poor of the poorest, you want to serve them as if you're serving angels, you know, because the word of God says when we take care of these, the sick ones, the ones in prison, the ones that are disadvantaged, we are actually taking care of God himself.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's one thing that really helps me. I'm not going to lie and say I don't have deficiencies. I'm sure I've got moments of tiredness and so forth, but I'm very aware of the fact that when I am at work, I'm a representative of Christ. And when patients see me, I want them to experience the warmth of Jesus. And I want them to experience acceptance, to experience kindness, to experience help, you know, and ease as well, you know. So that's especially the poor people.
Wow.
Because I think growing up, I have seen how much the poor have been marginalized in terms of help. If someone is coming, they're dangling their car keys, they tend to get better service than an old woman who's trying to shuffle her gait towards the doctor's room. So I want to be that doctor that helps the old woman to carry her bag into my room so that I can assist her. So it's very close to my heart that we are called for the poor of the poorest.
Yeah. Wow. Clearly you have a gift in seeing the best in people. How do you maintain that perspective? Because, I mean, there's life's challenges, you know, there's situations or maybe even difficult medical cases where, you know, how do you keep your head up in those moments?
Sure. I guess that's like a thing that you learn as you grow up daily. You are never best at it. But I think life has really taught me a lot about not looking at surface when you meet someone. There's been times when you could label someone as being difficult, but it's humbling when you finally hear their story and you realize that you sort of judged how they presented themselves. I mean, in terms of medicine, then if someone defaulted their treatment or they didn't bring their child where they were supposed to bring them, or they neglected their child or whatever, a lot of the times when you are younger, it's very easy to feel like you want to judge that woman for abusing alcohol, for not being a present mom and so forth. But I think as you get older, you learn grace. And I think that also comes from God and also just from learning that people are victim of circumstances, and you condemning people and highlighting their flaws does not help them to be better, you know. The best you can do is to approach everyone with equal grace, even when it seems like it's not deserved, you know. And that always encourages people to be better all the time. That's what I've noticed. That has been developing over time. I think as you get older, your grace levels, the Holy Spirit really helps you to allow a lot more things, to allow people to get away with a lot. Just applying grace and realizing that, oh, this person might be going through much more than what I could ever even be able to comprehend.
Wow. And I mean, it's Heritage Day now. And we are celebrating South Africans who inspire us, or at least during this Heritage Month. Who inspires you personally, in your family, in your community, maybe even someone from back in the day?
Sure. Can I say two people?
Yeah.
I think it's an easy answer for me. My husband is one person that really inspires me.
Wow.
I have never met anyone that works harder than that guy. I have never met anyone who's got such clear visions about things.
Sure.
He has an ability to create something out of nothing, you know. And also what I appreciate most about him is that he's the person that's been able to turn any lemon situation into lemonade. You know,
I mean,
just one example, he lost his parents in his early 20s. But throughout life, that has never been even a point of reference with him. Like, he's never been like, you know, since I lost my parents, it's actually me that sometimes reference that, you know, because I don't even have words, but I am so inspired by his strength, his vision, his strength mostly.
Mm.
He works harder than anyone that I know, and he never feels sorry for himself. And I think that's one thing that challenges me about him, is to look at what he's gone through and see how he's coping better than me, even though he's the one that went through it. And I think, wow, your God has really gifted this guy with strength, with zeal, with vision as well, with an ability to have a different lens and a different view in every situation and circumstance. So it's him. The second person I definitely want to mention is someone that passed away in 2020. If not 2021, I think it was 2020, Prof. Pepeta. He was the first pediatric cardiologist in the Eastern Cape. He pioneered the Dorangin's pediatric unit and was the one that made sure there was specialists there. There was specialist training. I started training with him. I qualified from his encouragement, and I can still remember after I qualified as a pediatrician, I remember him saying, you're going to have to study something else. You can't just be a pediatrician. You'll be wasting your brains. So he was always that guy that was driving us to be better, you know, especially the young black professionals. And on top of that, he had a vision to build an institution that poor people can get the same service as the private institutions, you know. He built that department from nothing to something. Today there's subspecialists there. There's a lot of specialists that have been trained in that department. And sure, it's thanks to him. We still miss him a lot, and I'm so grateful to God to have known him personally.
Wow. And nothing is by chance, the fact that you met him and just
and
the impact.
Nothing is by chance.
Wow. So if you were to say a few words to him right now, what would you say?
Sure. Why did we have to leave so early? And thank you, because I can still remember when I decided to do pediatric endocrinology, part of something that sort of put a stamp that I needed to do it was when he passed away, because I was left asking myself, so what are you going to, you now have to pick the bait and like, how are you going to do it? What part are you going to play onto the system? And I looked around and there was no pediatric endocrinologist in the Eastern Cape. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this for you, Prof.
Wow.
Wow,
Algoa Country. Well, you heard it here. She is the only pediatric endocrinologist and metabolism subspecialist in the Eastern Cape, the only one. Wow. So we have royalty here on today's show. You know, Dr. Mel, last year you invited me to sing at a women's conference, which, listen, that day specifically changed my life.
Sure.
I feel like I was at a point where I wasn't too sure where I was headed, but I just knew, like, I had to come back to my faith. I knew
sure.
that, you know, I had to draw closer to Jesus. And that specific day kind of shaped how I make music to this day.
Wow.
You know, it kind of made me think, wow, I can be at this festival or this conference and I can sing about God. Like, I actually want to do this for the rest of my life.
Wow.
You know, so I want to hear a little bit about this women's conference because it's coming back this year, right?
Yeah, it's coming back this year. Really, we're just praying and trusting God to just do what He wants to do through it.
Yeah.
We've called it Rooted and Radiant. And
wow.
I was sharing with someone that initially I had this glow idea, you know, but then I felt like there's just a lot of people now doing the glow thing and it was sounding a little bit cliche.
Yeah.
But then when the idea of Rooted and Radiant, it felt like it was explaining glow in at a much deeper level.
Yes.
That if we are rooted in the Word of God, we can radiate through any situation.
Oof.
You know what I'm saying? So I am hoping that every woman, different ages, can be able to experience God at a level that they need personally.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to try and bridge it across different generations. We're going to be revealing guests, but we tried to make sure that we have guests that will be speaking at different generations and also
yes.
like just bringing different perspectives
yes.
to faith as well. And yeah, and also just to radiance and strength. And I strongly believe in uplifting young girls. You know, I love young girls. And I believe that if we can all work together to make sure that everyone realizes their potential, there's a lot that South Africa can benefit from that. Because a lot of the times people just don't know the potential that they have.
Mm, it's true.
Yeah.
It's so true. I'll go a country. I mean, that just gave me chills now. So I hope that you're getting your early bird tickets because I believe those are out already.
Tickets are out. Love House website. You can buy your ticket via the website.
Wow. Dr. Mel, before I let you go, what is one message that you want to share with every South African listening today in honor of Heritage Month?
Be the difference. Be the difference. And being the difference, I want every South African to ask themselves, if I were to die, what would I leave as heritage for the next generation? And
wow.
I want us to think about kindness, to think about unity, to think about love. If we could leave the younger generation one day when we die, being loving, united, practicing kindness everywhere, I feel like that is better than gold.
Wow. I'll go country. Dr. Melezwa Ndamase Nyokana. Thank you so much, Dr. Mel.
Thank you, Kia. Thank you for having me.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.